Everyone has hot takes on sports.
Under pressure, yes, Kawhi is better than Kobe was.
Wait. What?
But sometimes we have to peel back the curtains and find out what kind of hot takes the Killer Bees have outside the world of sports.
Bananas are trash.
People don't actually like LaCroix.
Okay, surprising opinion.
It's time for Weird Take Wednesday on the Killer Bees.
I don't understand the LaCroix thing of that. Do they say they do like LaCroix or they don't like LaCroix?
I don't like LaCroix.
I'd have to re-listen to it.
Yeah, and I know where they make it.
If it's good or bad. Where do they make LaCroix?
In La Crosse, Wisconsin.
You don't like LaCroix?
I don't like. I told you I don't like.
Hold on, I don't mean
sparkling
the water.
Okay,
but look, do you not like La Crosse, Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Oh, it sounded like you didn't like it.
No,
it
I like La Crosse, Wisconsin. I don't like the bubbly. Wisconsin. I don't like the fizzy water.
Yeah, I'm a fizzy water kind of guy. All right, Joe.
I'm not either.
You don't like the fizzy water?
No, it's not my wife drinks it all the time.
Same here.
I like it whenever I'm like not drinking Cokes because it like gives you that like the burn, which I crave the burn.
Really?
So I like a good and I'll mix it with my Ginobin vodka from time to time
you
too.
You crave that feeling like the acidics are ripping your esophagus apart?
I
there's not acidic in sparkling water.
No, I know, but it's the feeling of it. Like acid is ripping your esophagus apart.
That's carbonation. Yeah, I do crave that. I love the carbonation. I don't like the carbonation?
I'm not a big fan of it.
No, I do.
Really?
I side with you on this part.
Carbonation's fantastic. So, like, the biggest reason of, like, why I drink sodas is because I crave the carbonation more than anything else. So sparkling water is great for, you know, trying to quit Cokes, whatever. All right, what do you got? Weird take.
All right, so this one, it does kind of involve sports. I know it's a not sports thing, but this is more of a lifestyle choice here. Do you guys know the name Seth Towns? At all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's like a seventh-year basketball player.
He's going into his eighth year of college basketball. He started college basketball in 2016 at Harvard. He just committed to Howard for the 2023-24 season.
Now, is that with the COVID years and then that you and then what? Because you can redshirt?
He had two injury seasons at Harvard. He had an injury season and it did not play at Ohio State. So he's only played in three of these seven seasons so far.
I mean, he was a big-time transfer to Ohio State whenever he left, too. I know the Seth Towns story pretty well because I keep track of college basketball pretty closely. I remember whenever he left the Ivy League and went to Ohio State, like he was supposed to be a dude for them. Like he was supposed to be
really
good. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was one of the best transfers at the time in the transfer portal.
Now, if he's getting he's making it worth his while with NIL money and everything like that.
I don't know anymore. I don't know. Like, I think that ship has sailed on Seth Towns.
I just don't think I want to be 25 years old playing college hoops with a bunch of 18, 19-year-old kids.
Okay,
DeAndre Williams last year at Memphis was like 27.
Yeah, he was. And Hendon Hooker was like 25.
I know. Yeah. I'm not sure I want to live that life. Like,
it's been weird, like this little era of like college sports, because you've had a bunch of different ways to get an extra years of eligibility, right? Like you have one, the red shirt, you can medically red shirt, and then everybody got a free year because of COVID. So like seeing college athletes in their mid-20s has never been a thing, unless you're Case Keenum, go Cougs. It's a thing now because of that extra COVID year.
Plus with the quarterback, Chad Henne. Henne played minor league baseball.
Was that Henne? I thought that was there was a lot that did that.
Brandon Whedon.
Whedon did it.
Chad Henne did it, too.
Who was the quarterback at Florida State?
The Florida State. That's what I'm thinking of. Wasn't it Chris Winkie. Chris Winkie.
Yeah.
Where you play, like, you give it a shot at minor league baseball, and then when it doesn't work out, you go back and play college football.
Yep.
It's happened before. Look, I'm not mad at the guy I think I'd question if he's pursuing a dream to play professional basketball. That I don't know if it's time to say that it's over. But
I think it is.
Yeah, I give him credit for at least trying to find every option before he's done.
Maybe not pro basketball, but NBA basketball for
right,
sure.
He could probably
play overseas, stuff like that. Like DeAndre Williams is a pro. He'll be a pro basketball player, but he'll never play in the NBA.
You say never, huh?
Yeah, he's not an NBA guy.
You don't think he's an end-of-the-bench kind of guy?
No.
Okay.
No.
I think the age limits him there. I think a lot of teams would say, well, I see this potential. This kid can do a lot. He's rangy and lanky and got some things, but when you look at his age, they're going to be like, I can find a guy at 19, 20 that can do the same things.
Yeah, that's you're seeing more and more guys like this. 25 is young whenever you compare it to DeAndre Williams, but Towns has had an interesting career, man. He was at Harvard for a while, transferred to Ohio State, was supposed to be like a big deal there, and He wasn't bad, but was never the guy they thought he was going to be. And I guess he's back at Howard now?
Yeah, he's at Howard now for the first time.
Does Harvard give scholarships?
Because there's Harvard, Ohio State, Howard.
They kind of recircumvent the wheel there a little bit. They don't do athletic scholarships, if memory serves, but they have a way to kind of get you academic scholarship whenever maybe you're not an Ivy Leaguer.
Uh-huh.
So they kind of have ways to get around it. But I don't think they do athletic scholarships, if memory serves.
Is Tommy Amaker still the head coach there?
At Harvard?
Yeah.
I believe so. But he's at Harvard. He's at Howard now. He was at Harvard.
Right, right, right. But I'm saying at Harvard.
At Howard now.
I never understood.
I'm pretty sure Amaker's there.
Amaker, great college career at Duke and had opportunities to get big-time coaching jobs and just wanted to go to Harvard as the coach. I'm like, I don't get it, but okay.
Yeah, I don't really understand why. Maybe just the job security. Like, you know, they're never going to get
fired. I guess.
Yeah, maybe so. All right, what's your second one? Second Weird Take Wednesday, Joe George.
All right, the USDA has decided to be the no fun team, and they are attempting to ban chocolate milk from cafeterias.
What?
Why?
What's the logic here?
Unhealthy.
Dude, like they're getting fake chicken. Like, everything in a cafeteria
Seriously.
Is unhealthy.
The nugs are processed, whatever they're feeding them. But you're going to worry about the fact that it's still milk. It still has nutrients and vitamins in it. But it's got chocolate. Big deal. Yeah, this is what we have to worry about these
this
days?
This is like Bad Take Boulevard, Weird Take Wednesday. Like, it's all of it. Like, what are we doing here?
Chocolate milk's probably one of the healthiest things that they serve.
I assume they're still serving fried items.
Probably.
I would think that's worse.
They're getting rid of chocolate milk entirely. You said this is the FDA? This is universal?
The USDA.
Do all of USDA? Our kids love chocolate milk? My kids ask for it every day after school as a snack.
We tried with Joseph early on, probably like a month ago, I guess.
He didn't like it?
Doesn't like it.
Really?
I was stunned. Stunned he didn't like it.
Our oldest will drink milk. He'll drink the white milk more than the chocolate milk, but yeah, he loves chocolate milk. Like, it's a treat, you know?
Yeah, both of my kids... Not surprisingly, the America's Dairyland in them. Well, they both drink milk. They love it. But the chocolate milk is what they prefer.
Yeah, I can't believe that. I can't believe that they're getting rid of chocolate milk like it's some sort of unhealthy option. Like, regular milk's more healthy, obviously. But chocolate milk has to be pretty high on the list of, like, what's still nutritious.
That's what I'm saying. There's still vitamins and all kinds of calcium and good things in it. This is what we're worried about. That's ridiculous.
Yep, that's what we're worried about. Chocolate
that's,
milk.
That's absurd, man. Like, that kind of triggers me. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm a little triggered right now by this, Joe George.
Well, it was
I
like,
hope this was your intent.
It was like the best. I mean, like, do you guys have the carts when you were really young?
Yeah.
And you got the chocolate milk?
Oh, that's great. The cart that you're talking about? Oh, yeah.
What
the little
kind of
triangular square, the square box with the triangular top?
Oh, yeah. Hey, but if you opened it wrong, you're screwed.
Yep.
Yeah, you had to, like, punch a hole in it. What was your go-to cafeteria lunch that you loved more than anything else? Or loves is a very...
I mean... Pizza
using
days.
That word recklessly.
You can't
pizza
go wrong
days?
With pizza day.
Pizza day was elite.
When they did
the pizza was gross.
When they did the sheet, it was just
it was
a big
pan
sheet of pizza, the square, the rectangular. Yeah. But pizza day was probably your best option.
Four says that strawberry milk is better than chocolate milk. I love strawberry stuff.
What a bad
I like
take.
Strawberry. I love strawberry ice cream. Like, I would take strawberry ice cream over chocolate ice cream.
Oh,
but
no.
But in no
what?
World.
Oh, no.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But in no world is strawberry
mean,
milk better than chocolate milk.
Absolutely.
I love strawberry ice cream.
Okay, I mean, I get it's your personal preference, but absolutely.
Yeah, I take it over chocolate ice cream 10 times out of 10.
Oh,
but
no.
I would not make the same claim about the milk. I would never drink strawberry milk. I did was a thing as a kid, but not now. Like, there's no way I'm taking strawberry milk over chocolate milk.
Even when they came
and
out
I'm a
with
strawberry
like,
guy,
the strawberry milk powder, just like the chocolate milk powder, like, who even, if you have that option, who's going strawberry milk?
Strawberry milk's bad.
I mean, what's the one that's Neapolitan ice cream? Is that the one with the
that's right,
Neapolitan's
three flavors.
Elite.
Yep.
Neapolitan
but the
is
thing
great.
Is, it's like, depending on where you, like, you can go to someone's house, they open up Neapolitan ice cream. What is typically there? All the strawberry.
Strawberry. That's true.
You go to my house, strawberry's the one that's gone. Like,
what?
It's absolutely.
I'm
strawberry
like,
ice cream of those three is the best of the three.
False.
See,
I love me some vanilla, too.
I'm a strawberry ice cream guy, but even being a strawberry guy, I'm not taking strawberry milk over chocolate milk. Like, strawberry milk over chocolate milk is the biggest transgression. Strawberry ice cream over chocolate ice cream is not that big a transgression.
I might disagree
with it, but it's not nearly as the same level of strawberry
preference.
Milk over chocolate milk.
I mean, like
that's a way worse take.
Strawberry milk sucks.
I'll live that mine's a bad take. I'll concede that I am one of the few that will take strawberry ice cream over chocolate ice cream, but it is not even in the same universe as choosing strawberry milk over chocolate milk.
I can't remember the last time I had strawberry milk.
I can't
either.
It's
brutal. It's terrible.
It is bad.
I was probably seven. Like, I used to like it as a kid, but I grew out of it.
Now, they didn't offer that at school. That's one where you had to whip it up at the house.
Yep. Yeah.
With the powder.
My favorite cafeteria meal was the chicken fried steak with the mashed potatoes in the roll, and you'd kind of just eat it all together. Like that.
I remember. You must have big-timed your schools. Our school never had chicken fried steak.
We had that.
That
Did
was
you?
In Texas. Yeah, it was cheap fried steak.
We had it in Illinois.
Did you?
It
really?
It was so good. Chicken fried steak, mashed potatoes, you get a little roll, and then you can kind of make a chicken fried steak sandwich. Oh, it was so good. Chicken fried steak over anything else that school cafeterias had.
We had a...
Those were the best days.
Salisbury steak.
I was just thinking the same
Sean
thing.
Sean Salisbury steak?
It was decent.
Yeah.
It's like, when you look back on it, like it's kind of gross.
But it was essentially just a hamburger patty with gravy.
Yeah.
A glorified hamburger patty with gravy, but it wasn't bad.
Did you guys have the little, like, the sauce on the top of it? I like strawberry steak, too. You ever get those TV dinners?
Yeah, strawberry
steak. We know what you meant.
And we know you like strawberry milk, but I don't think you want the strawberry steak.
I don't like strawberry milk. I like strawberry ice cream.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. The Salisbury steak. I was a fan of Salisbury steaks.
Yeah, it was good.
They would serve those with mashed potatoes, too. So you take a bite of the Salisbury steak, you scoop up some mashed potatoes with it, and you make a pretty good bite.
I'm all on that.
Did you
have a good bite?
All right, Joel, I don't know if this fits like your timeline. I don't know if they took like, if you rode horseback to like the closest McDonald's. Like, did you guys have the, because you're old?
No, because I lived in the city. I didn't have a horseback.
But did you guys have like the free lunch when you guys were like seniors in high school?
No.
We could leave campus?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, we would go to the Golden Walk when we did that.
Dude, you didn't have to be a senior. We were leaving campus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, every day at lunch, it was your hour to go wherever you wanted to go.
We had to be seniors.
Houdini the Great says, Branham humbled chicken fried steak and mashed potatoes is good. It was great. It was the GOAT. It was elite. Elite cafeteria lunch and a little humble ISD. I was going to say something, but I forgot. Yeah, we would go to the Golden Walk whenever we would leave senior year and go off campus. We had to sneak off, though. We weren't allowed to leave. We would sneak away.
We had Rocky Rococo's pizza, and if you didn't want Rocky Rococo's for pizza, then we had Cops, which was basically what they patterned Big Al's on in Happy Days. Like, it had dollar hamburgers that were like
Happy Days?
The TV show, yeah.
I don't recall.
Based out of Milwaukee.
I've never watched Happy Days.
Okay, well, anyway, Big Al's Drive-In was based on Cops, and so we knew that in Legend of Milwaukee. But they had the best hamburgers in the city, and we would sneak off and go to Cops and get burgers and fries and come on back for your afternoon classes.
Day one, Donna, have y'all had the Bluebell Dr. Pepper ice cream?
You did, right?
I tried a bite of it. It was all right. It was good.
Like, I won't do it.
Is it fizzy?
No, it's not fizzy. It's ice cream. Why won't you do it?
Why didn't we get any?
What are you talking about?
Highway to Hell got some.
Oh, did they?
The other one got some.
Did For they real? Really?
Yeah. They brought it to their studios.
What is that?
Banned.
Yeah. Who do we
Ben and
tag on a tweet on that?
Team Ben and Jerry's now.
No question.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going Ben and Jerry's.
No, I'm not either.
Oh, it was Jerry Garcia.
It
don't
was the first
sleep
one
on Jerry Garcia. That's great ice cream.
I'm going Ben and Jerry's.
Jerry Garcia, Ben and Jerry's is awesome. Very, very good.
Big C says they had gumbo in the cafeteria, red beans and rice. Tell me you grew up in New Orleans without telling me
Seriously.
You grew up in New Orleans. I love going to New Orleans. I'm going to miss that place. All right. That's it for Weird Take Wednesday. 713-780-ESPN. If you have any other weird takes, you can spam them at Pac-Man Joel. He'd love to see them all. All right. I have the plan for Lance McCullers Jr. We don't know when he's coming back, but I have both a short-term plan and a long-term plan for Lance McCullers. You can tell us yours as well, I guess. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We have really smart listeners, really shrewd listeners in the Hive. 2484, the strawberry bluebell with real strawberries in it is elite. Facts. 2304, strawberry ice cream is great, especially like a strawberry shortcake. Y'all don't like strawberry shortcakes?
Oh, strawberry shortcake's great.
So good.
Fantastic.
A great dessert.
Isn't strawberry shortcake vanilla ice cream?
I don't really think that you have to have ice cream in a strawberry shortcake.
That's
true.
Here's the take, though. Rather than whipped cream with the strawberries and the shortcake, I prefer vanilla ice cream with the strawberries and the shortcake.
I don't think I've ever fantastic. Had that. Yeah, that would be fantastic. I'm going to have to try that. I've never
it's an upgrade.
I don't love whipped cream.
I don't either.
I think, like, I'll eat it. It's fine. But, like, to me, like, just give me the dessert. Like,
yeah, back home in my house, that was the play. You go with the fresh strawberries. You go with but you got to have some of the juice of the strawberries in there, too. And then the shortcake and the vanilla ice cream, not the whipped cream, and it's fantastic.
Good thing that Brendan Riley was fired, and we don't have to listen to his terrible dessert takes about how fruit doesn't belong in desserts, because strawberry shortcake is an elite dessert.
Absolutely right. Now, Jeremy, I have to ask you this, because Joe and I had this discussion during the break, because it's a big Midwest thing, but are you a float guy?
Yeah, I like some floats.
Because, man,
I like some floats.
Root beer float is really good, especially in the summer.
Uh-huh.
Coke float, phenomenal.
I do. I've done more Coke floats in my life than root beer floats.
Because when you mentioned the Dr. Pepper ice cream, Dr. Pepper, I think, was a thing, too, with the ice cream. But, man, Coke floats are all world.
Yeah, I love Coke floats. Did you ever do the Dr. Pepper float from Whataburger?
I have not.
I haven't either. My wife said that
the milkshake?
Have you had
so
that?
So good.
Yeah. You haven't had the Bluebell ice cream, though, right?
No, I haven't had the Bluebell ice cream, but the Whataburger one's really good.
My wife says that the ice cream is better than the float.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's also this is a big problem that should not go away, by the way. We should be on attack mode that we didn't get any.
Yeah, but I don't want to.
They have bad taste. Like, I mean, it is what it is.
Does that translate to the product that they're serving?
No,
it tastes bad?
No. Bluebell's great.
I'm just asking, but you know what? You should take care of us, too. Matter of fact, more than others, I think.
Yeah, maybe they weren't looking at the standings.
I was just thinking the same thing, but it is what it is.
Lance McCullers Jr. Astros lost baseball, by the way. Yeah, they lost this baseball game. I'll probably go back and watch it later. We all go back and watch this game later?
I watched the whole thing here. We were talking about it throughout the day. I mean, with the monitor on, and there was a couple times like I'm going, oh, come on. You're telling me that you got second and third, one out, and you've got Yordan and Tuck coming up, and they can't even squeeze out a run?
Yeah. Game started at 3:05, but I had the game up on the I was just watching like the little – what do they call it? The game day, the game tracker, whatever, like the MLB.com game tracker. I had that up. I was kind of following along that way because I don't – you know, if for me to watch the game where I'm at, I would have to watch it on my computer, and I'm kind of needing my computer for other things right now. So I'll probably go back and watch this a little bit later as much as I don't want to. But the Astros get shut out again. They used up all their runs in game one of their series. So like the Astros to light up Corbin Burns and hang up a big number and then lose back-to-back games against some randos. Brutal.
Yeah, and you know what? And looking at it, too, from the perspective of as quickly as everybody jumped back on the bandwagon with 8 in a row, now people are losing their mind because they finished this series with 2 losses. It happens. It's baseball. It's fine, okay? You didn't, you know, Altuve, whatever he had going on last night, and I guess it spilled over into today, but he's not in the lineup. But the fact that they righted the ship enough to get 8 in a row and you're going to play the A's next, just take a deep breath. It's okay.
Going to play the Oakland single A's. Last time they were there, I think it was the last time they were there, they were swept.
Well, that's true. Thanks, Jeremy. That's the good thought of the day.
I'm not here to give you good thoughts.
I mean, did you see the way the Belak got through 6? And then Dusty threw him out there for the 7th and
What was his pitch count? Because, again, I was watching on Game Tracker.
I did not see it, but this is the longest it was the longest start that he's had as a member of the Astros, and he went into the 7th and he gave up 2 more bombs. So it was a quality start that turned into a not quality start because I think Dusty was trying to save the pen and squeeze out another inning. And right, you got the pen coming on an off day coming up. Yeah. I don't get it.
Like, that's a Belak 6. Give me Nerys in the 7th, Abreu in the 8th, Presley in the 9th, no matter the score type of day.
Yeah, because
that's curious.
Yeah,
I
was scratching my temple on that one. I don't understand that one.
You probably
Boy.
I need to see the pitch count.
Yeah, that's the only thing that could save him, but that's your boy.
Dusty?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Dusty. Dusty's great. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. He's your boy.
How many managerial wins does he have, and how many wins do you have in your managerial career? How dare
that's the card we're playing now. Check the back of your baseball card, sir. Yeah, you check the back of your baseball card.
I was a lifetime 400 hitter.
Yeah, in peewee ball. I'm telling you.
No. Lifetime 400 hitter in high school, brother.
Okay, because you had 3 at-bats.
5. Okay. You can't have close a 400 enough batting average with 3 at-bats. Math.
Here's the thing. I said to Joe during one of the previous breaks, have we gotten to the point now because of the Bagwell comment that now that's going to be a thing the rest of the year? check the back of the baseball card?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yep. No doubt. 2447 says, boys, banana milk is the king.
Oh, my God. Is that disgusting?
I've never had banana milk.
I think I
have. Is it wrong of me to have never had it?
In the Midwest, I think, as a kid, I remember it vaguely, but I remember hating it to the point where I'm not going to go. That's not going to be a go-to or even a third choice.
Yeah, I've never had banana milk, and I'm not really interested in trying it either. 1509, the Whataburger root beer malt was yuck, but the Dr. Pepper malt will make you overeat, or is it a drink? Okay. You were in the Dairyland. I love malts, Blankers.
They're big.
I feel like it's a dying thing here, though.
They can make you big, too, in a hurry.
You can make me one? Make me
one,
please.
No, they can make you big. There's a lot to get fat on and happy and with malts.
Where is the best malt in Houston? 713-780-3776. Because I love malts, and I really have no idea where to get them anymore.
Doesn't, like, a Freddy's Burgers have malt?
To me, they're too thick. Like, they're too thick and too chocolatey. Like, I feel like their ratio isn't
so essentially
good.
It's almost more like ice cream? Tough to get through a straw?
No, it's not so much. I think it's more the chocolate flavor that's thick. It's not It's not really the texture. I feel like the chocolate's too rich in the malt. Like, I like a good mild chocolate in my malt. I think Sonic's malts used to be really good, but they got rid of them. Like, I have no idea where to find a good malt anymore.
I mean, in the Midwest, malts are a staple. They're not so going anywhere, and people love to get fat, so they are going to feast on them. But, yeah, a good malt made the right way is fantastic.
I don't want to live a skinny life.
You go burgers, fries, and then you finish it with the malt. That could be your dessert and your drink. It's fantastic.
King of Twitch, malts, what is this, 1955? I love malts. Malts are so good. They're better than shakes. All right, let's get to the Lance McCullers conversation. I have a plan for Lance short-term and long-term. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I'm a malt fiend, and I'm asking you for malt recommendations, 713-780-3776. I feel like you can't find a great malt around here anymore. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Dave, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What you got for us, Dave?
Dave, turn your radio down, buddy.
Did we lose Dave?
Did we lose Dave?
Terrific malt
Is Dave
suggestion?
Still there?
Dave, are you there?
Hey,
there,
man.
Dave?
What's up,
hey,
man?
There you are.
Hey, if you want to get out to Galveston, go out to the Strand. There's this place. It's called La King's. I don't know if you've ever been there.
No, I haven't. It's called La King's?
It's called La King's. And I don't know. And this is the disclaimer. I don't know if they have malt, but they have shakes, and they have, like, an entire confectionery. I'm betting that they do make malt.
Yeah, I just put up their website. They do.
There you go.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's some of the best milkshakes that I've ever had, and it's really cool. It's kind of like a throwback. It's like an old style. Been there. It's down in the Strand. You just take 45 south, exit Harborside, go left.
Do you work there?
I was going to say, thanks for the promo.
Are you the owner of La King's in Galveston? Appreciate the call. Appreciate the recommendation. I'm going to put it on my list. I pulled up the menu here. They have floats, a $10 banana split. They have malts there.
Here's one. I can't stand banana splits.
I like the banana splits without the bananas.
I was just going to say, that's the main thing. I could do without the bananas and the whipped cream. Bananas, the ice cream and the toppings and the sundae sauce is fine. I'm just no bananas and no whipped cream. I've never been a fan.
All right, so we got Wes called in. He didn't have time to wait on hold. He said the best malts in Texas are Dairy Queen.
I had the Dairy Queen malts. I'm not a huge fan.
That's such a low bar.
See, like,
yeah,
back
I don't
home,
think that they are.
Yeah, at back home, it was an insult to go to, like, with all the, like, mom and pop shops that made great malts. You didn't go to the Dairy Queen for a malt. You went to the Dairy Queen for the ice cream.
Yeah, I'm out on that. All right, 713-780-ESPN, if you got some stuff that you want to somebody else texted in La King's, too. That's interesting.
Probably the same guy.
Try that out. Maybe not. I don't know. But we'll give it a shot. I'll give it a shot. I have a plan for Lance McCullers Jr., Joe, and Joel.
Jeez. Thanks.
I meant to say Joel, but it came out. Right. I meant to say Joel. It came out
Joe. Just loved that. Look at him pumping his fists.
It's not good for me that Joe is Joe and Joel is Joel. It's why I call Blankers Blankers, because It's too close for me. Anyways, here's my short and long-term plan for
you
Lance
McCullers.
You called
me Blankers, by the way, before Joe got here.
Yeah, I know. But okay. That's why I make sure I call you Blankers every time, because it's too close for me. Like, you know, Joe has Joe, and then you'll take the L, and it'll be Joel.
There you go.
Short-term, here's my plan for Lance McCullers Jr. Short-term plan for Lance McCullers. Take your time. Take your time. Like, France has given you enough so far. Belak's giving you enough so far. Urquidy's going to come back around the All-Star game, which is kind of where Lance McCullers is going to come back. Take your time with Lance McCullers. I don't want to see Lance McCullers in the big leagues until August, quite honestly. August 1st, first week of August, do not care. I don't want to see Lance McCullers Jr. making his 2023 Astros debut until August. And then I hope he can stay healthy long enough through the playoff run. That's where I'm at with Lance McCullers short term. I don't want to see him until August. Hope he can get through the end of the season unscathed. Where are you at short term with Lance?
I hear you. I'm good with that because of how talented this entire team is. But as I look at it, I think it, even from a fan's perspective, my first thought is this going to be a reoccurring event? Is this something that we're just going to do every year, or is it just this year? Because for this year, yeah, I'm totally right. I'm good with you saying that. I'm right with you in the same boat. I'm saying, you know what? Take your time. Make sure you're right. As I said, even with a Brantley, I don't need you in April. I need you in October. So if you can get me to the point where you're going to be your old self or as close to it as I can hope for by the end of the season, so be it. I'm good with it. But is this going to be every single season? Because we know Brantley's probably one and done on this deal, regardless of what happens the rest of the way. McCullers is signed for multiple years. You really want him to be a part of your rotation, and you want to see him consistently. And that's where my biggest concern is. We can do this again for another year, though it's really pissing me off that we are, but they're capable of doing it and you know, keeping the ship afloat till he comes back and then really capitalizing on him being a part of the team. But I don't want to keep doing this, man. There's got to be some way to solve this so we're not doing this every year.
Yeah, I don't like, what does that look like?
I don't know if it's a medical procedure involved in it. I don't know what the records, you know, the medical records and everything they're seeing says, but I don't think it, to me, it doesn't seem like it, to me, it seems fixable. And I just don't know why it hasn't been completely fixed yet, because this one's lingering longer than sitting out with all the time after Tommy John surgery. To some degree, that's what's so frustrating.
Yeah, I think he's injury prone, first and foremost. I think that it probably is who Lance is. Like, if you told me that Lance McCullers had three full seasons without an injury for the rest of his career, I would be stunned. I would be shocked. Like, and he's still in his 20s. If Lance McCullers had three more years in the big leagues, full seasons, pitches from start to finish, I would be completely stunned. I think this is who Lance McCullers is. I don't, you know, maybe you can operate, maybe you can cut. I feel like if that was an option, they would have already done it, though. Like, you know, I just do. Long term for Lance McCullers, I have the plan as well. Because I don't think that you can count on Lance McCullers for all the things that we just said. Like, you cannot count on him making 30 starts in a year. I don't think you can count on him making 25 starts in a year. Like, it is who he is. He's an injury-prone guy. He's not going to be somebody who pitches the entire year. Long-term plan for Lance McCullers is that as long as he's an Astro, you go into the season with Lance McCullers Jr. as your sixth starter. He's a bonus. He's a surplus. If he's your sixth starter and he's healthy, great. Six-man rotation it. Lance McCullers will be the best sixth starter in all of baseball. You have five other starters that you also can rely on. Because you have a six-man rotation, it helps the bullpen. It limits the toll on all of your other starters as well. It's good. It's beneficial. And then if Lance McCullers gets hurt, okay, no problem. I still have a really good five-man rotation. Long-term plan, you can't trust Lance McCullers. When he's healthy, he's your sixth starter. And if he's not healthy, oh, well, you have five other starters. You cannot go into a year with Lance McCullers on your team with him penciled in as one of your five guys in a five-man rotation.
I understand you can't count on him, but I also worry about the fact that it sounds like the plan is don't count on him to be a regular in your rotation, but then count on him at the end of the year when it's the most important time of the season where you need him the most. But because I think that part of that to me says there's still a possibility that from a couple years ago, you go into that and as good as he looks early on in the playoffs, there's a chance that he won't be a part for the end of the playoffs either. And then he leaves you kind of holding the bag and you end up with a greater possibility of coming up short in what could have been another big-time successful championship-type season. That's what would concern me, would be the fact that I can understand him being the sixth starter. I can understand not counting on him in the regular season so that he's ready for the postseason. But you know how impactful he can be when the games matter the most. And that's what scares me the most is when you do end up having to count on him in the playoffs, there's still no guarantee that the way you kind of handle him with kid gloves that he'll give you everything you need from him in the postseason.
Yeah, but it's more likely he pitches in the playoffs if you use a six-man rotation. Like, the chances of him being healthy in the postseason increase if he's a six starter and not in a five-man rotation.
It's a pretty expensive part-time player, though.
$17.5 million, he's a six starter. It's not a part-time. He's making one start every 6 games.
But you know as well as I do.
A six-man rotation for the majority of last season.
Going back to what you just said about if I could, you know, about hoping that he could be healthy for the next 3 years. Yeah, that's the goal. That's the hope that he's the six starter and that he starts every 6 day. But you know as well as I do, chances are he's probably not even going to do that.
Right, but if he can't make a start, wouldn't it be easier to eat that if he was in a six-man rotation as opposed to a five-man rotation? If you're counting on him to be your number three starter, your number four starter in a five-man rotation, and then it's like, oh, we're without Lance McCullers for a month, that makes it very difficult. But if he's a six-man in a six-man rotation and you miss Lance McCullers for a month, oh, well, we have five other starters. And, like, you could have done it this year if Lance McCullers was healthy out of the gate. Now, you've had some injuries because Luis Garcia's out for the year. But you could have started this season with this plan, six-man rotation. At the top, you have Fromber, you have Christian Javier, you have Luis Garcia, you have Jose Urquidy, you have Hunter Brown, and you have Lance McCullers. Yeah. The plan this year going in – well, not going into the season because Lance McCullers had a setback on the second day of spring training – is that you were going to use a six-man rotation anyways. The problem that I have because you can't really trust Lance McCullers
– what is going on? Joe? Evidently, we have some technical problems with Jeremy. Look, the thing that I have a problem with doing that with Lance McCullers is the fact that as a part-time player, you basically are doing everything. You're doing the Justin Verlander plan, but you're doing it long-term. You're not doing it for just Justin Verlander coming off Tommy John because we've already been there and done that with Lance McCullers. But now you're going to do it for the rest of his career, seemingly, and I think that's too much to do and too much to ask an organization and a baseball team to do when you still are paying him a hefty salary and expecting for that salary, you're going to get more results both in the regular season and the playoffs. That's what concerns me the most. Verlander was the one that actually pulled the plug on the sixth man because he wanted to do more and he felt like he could, and he was just doing Tommy John. I think with Lance, it's the bigger issue of thinking that he's injury prone, and now that we've gone and graduated from the Tommy John to getting into all the forearm issues to now wondering what's next because they're all connected and it's all part of his throwing and all the wear and tear that he's had to endure on his throwing arm and shoulder and elbow and everything else, that the chances are greater than not that he's going to break down in other areas too. And I understand that you're trying to like prepare and combat that, but it seems to be more hassle than the return on investment.
Yeah, it's more. I think it's more like you're hoping, though, that he stays healthy. Like, it's not a real plan. Like, five-man rotation, Lance McCullers, okay. Like, it puts you in a spot where you're very vulnerable.
Don't you think
as opposed to having six starters.
That plan almost lends itself to an eventual, and maybe sooner rather than later, graduation to the bullpen?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that on the other side. Because a lot of people have talked about the Lance McCullers to the bullpen thing. My return got hijacked by SportsMap. But, yeah, the Lance McCullers bullpen plan, because I've seen a lot of people talk about this. What's that?
I hate when those things happen.
Unbelievable. All right. We'll be right back. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
That sports map blaring in my ear. I apologize.
Was there a Philly tinge to it?
I got kidnapped in the last 2 minutes of that segment. No, I couldn't hear him. They were like in break.
Oh.
It was like VEASAN Sports Live commercials. And it was so loud, too. Like, if you're, like, I have you guys turned up at a normal, you know, decibel level. Mm-hmm. Theirs was like five times louder. Like, I think I might have busted my eardrum there. Workers' comp, can I get that for this?
Oh, no. Well, that's Joe's pull.
Not it.
I'll email HR&P, see if I can get some workers' comp out of this.
Joe might know
a good severance package. Anyways, the idea of Lance McCullers into the bullpen, I've seen people kick this around. I don't like this idea, to be completely honest with you. Lance McCullers is usually kind of a slow starter, right? Like, he doesn't come out of games that hot. Like, he has 20, 25 pitch first innings. He puts a lot of people on base. I don't think Lance McCullers' makeup is good for the bullpen, to be quite honest with you.
Well, then, because what I was thinking of more or less was we try your program first of the six-man rotation. Mm-hmm. But then you have to – it comes to a point where you have to make a decision as you keep – you need to get guys more stretched out the second half of the year, getting closer to the playoffs.
They didn't do that last year. I mean, last year, last month of the year, they were in a six-man rotation.
Off and on, but you knew who your guys were going to be, and you were trying to get them deeper into games, and you were trying to get them to pitch more on a regular schedule. But – that at a certain point, do you get to the point where McCullers becomes one of your dudes that's going to be a starter in the playoffs? Or
that's a decision whenever you that's across the bridge when you get there. Like, I don't know if Lance McCullers is going to be healthy in the playoff. Using a six-man rotation where he's starting once every six games as opposed to once every fifth game, I think gives him a better chance to be ready for the playoffs. But you go with your best guys. You go with the guys who are having the best year.
Here's where I would go with that. I would go with that for the first three quarters of the season. But then at a certain point, I want to take out as much uncertainty as I can. So at a certain point, I'm going to try and get him as close to as I can to stretch it out and see where he is and see how he reacts. Because what I don't want is the scenario where Dusty and or you know whoever else, Dana Brown and others say, I want Lance one of my top four, and then he falters because he's not ready for the kind of workload and going back to the five-man rotation.
Starters in the playoffs, though, don't go deeper into games. Like, they're shorter than their normal starts.
I get it.
They have a quick trigger. They have quick hooks. Like, they don't last nearly as long.
But you have one bad inning or you have a long inning, even if it's not a bad inning.
Wouldn't that be worse as a reliever?
I mean, at a certain point, he ends up – that's what I'm saying. I mean, you either are counting on him to be a guy that can be a horse by taking the ball in a big game and getting it done –
yeah.
Or you kind of are relegated to just saying, hey, you're an innings eater, and you're going into the bullpen because I can't trust you.
Do you like the idea of Lance in the bullpen?
I hate it.
Yeah, I do too.
Especially with a guy with his history of injury. I hate it. And it goes back to our ongoing discussion about what's tougher on an arm. I just think with his backstory medically.
Where were you on that? I can't remember your stance.
To me, I thought it was tougher to pitch out of the bullpen.
Because I'm with you.
I feel like... having done a little of both, but I preferred to be a starter because I knew, and we only had two lefties in college, so there was a chance, and I was dumb enough to say that I'll go seven or eight innings, and then I'll give you a couple of outs in the next day or two if you need me. And then I really felt how bad your arm could feel. But I think that when you look at it from a pro baseball player's perspective, you know what you're going to be doing every single fifth day. As opposed to, as a relief pitcher, I might need you to get two outs the first day or an inning. Then I might need you in the next day or two to get either a batter and or, might go to you for more than an inning. There's just, and you're up and you're down. And like we talked about, you got to get all the way up several times. I think that's more taxing and harder on an arm, especially with a medical history like Lance's, as opposed to just knowing you're going to go every fifth day.
Yeah, and see, that's why I want it to be every sixth day, is because you lighten the load on him. And if he's your sixth starter, he's more of a wild card than somebody that you're like actually relying on. But yeah, we're on the same page. I don't see him as a reliever. Like he has trouble easing into games. If something's slightly wrong, he has trouble getting over it. If his hair is, not cut perfectly, it's not going to look good. If the sun's at a certain angle is in his eye, he can't pitch well that day. Speck of dirt on the rubber. If it's on the first base side,
frustrated.
It's fine. If it's on the third base side, it's not.
I get frustrated. Oh, is it better home or road? Because it changes year to year. I get frustrated by the fact that everybody just sees Lance going to the bullpen. It's John Smoltz all over again.
Right.
No, it's not. It's not even
good
close.
Stuff, but his like demeanor to me is not reliever.
But it's more than that too. It's the medical history that goes with it because it's not just in his case. It'd be one thing to say, well, a lot of guys come back stronger after Tommy John, but now it seems like there's more to it than just the Tommy John, which is more reason for concern and pause than to say, oh, he's going to be just like John Smoltz.
Yeah, his right forearm elbow is still having trouble post TJ. Whereas Smoltz moved there because he didn't really want to go 170 innings like 1 year out of Tommy John was great. And people forget that Smoltz actually went back to the rotation after a couple of years of being in the closer's role. He went back to the starting rotation after he's like, okay, I'm ready for 180 innings now. I don't want Lance throwing 180 innings. I want him to throw 120 innings as a starter who's making 17, 18 starts. Matt says if LMJ comes back and you get out of the contract via trade, do you do it? I would. See, to me, he's so talented that I'm not trading Lance McCullers low. Like, I'm not selling Lance McCullers low. It's not a $30 million a year contract. I think he's too talented to just, like, you know, eat the contract, trade him for peanuts. Like, he's too
good.
His upside's too good.
You are rolling the dice because you know it's just unlike most pitchers coming off of Tommy John. You know that there's more to it. You know that the chances are, whether it's just his genetic makeup and his medicals, or just his past history and now this forearm, like you said, an elbow, that it's a big enough risk that I would consider seeing, you know, if you could get out of it, knowing that Garcia's coming back, knowing that you still got Urquidy, you've got Brown and now potentially France to go with your top two horses, that if it means, again, because of the fact that we just got done talking about $30 million tied up in Montero and Abreu that might be dead money for a return on investment, that you also don't want to be sitting on a part-time Lance for 3 years or however much is left on that contract.
Yeah, see, to me, it comes back to the amnesty conversation we have earlier. Like, if you could amnesty a couple of contracts here, Lance wouldn't be top two. Like, I'm getting out of the Abreu deal, the Montero deal. Now, Lance McCullers probably has more value because at his best, he still can be very, very good. But you would be selling him for half the cost. Like, you'd be selling a $10 commodity for $5. And I'm not in the business of doing that. Like, I rather prey on health, even if it comes from softy Lance McCullers, than trade $10 for $3 just because I'm fed up with it and tired of it. Because I think Lance McCullers at his best can help you. Like, I understand that he's not ever healthy. I understand that it's trouble getting him on the mound, but if he's healthy this postseason, like, that's a key piece to have on a playoff caliber.
Sure,
team
it is.
As opposed to trading Lance McCullers for a couple of B-level prospects. I'm not doing that just to get out of $17.5 million per year.
It just bothers me so much that I'm so leery of the fact that it's all connected. So the shoulder's connected to the elbow, to the forearm, to everything. And it just seems like when one has to work harder because the other's kind of breaking down as part of how the arm is constructed, that there's just nothing that convinces me or puts my fears at ease that, oh, he's going to be fine. It's just, it's not that serious. It seems to me everything seems to be serious whenever it's an arm issue with Lance McCullers.
I'm with you on that. Like, I agree that, like, I can't ever trust the guy. I agree that, like, I don't see him. He's on the books for the next 3 years after this year. I don't think Lance McCullers is going to give you one full season. So, like, I agree with everything that you said. I just can't trade a player that has really good talent for absolutely nothing whenever I'm a team that has playoff aspirations.
But if that's true, that would be the reason to consider dumping out, is the fact that you don't think you're even going to get one full season out of Lance.
But what are you getting out of it, though? Like, you're getting just the money that you're clearing?
Yeah, you're saving money.
You're not getting anything in return.
No, but if you get all that money off the books to where you could actually repurpose that money to do it a different way, maybe you're not getting another Lance McCullers.
You're getting a Michael Brantley.
But no, stop it. But you're getting a player or two that might be able to help you more consistently.
What's the Wheelhouse leading with today?
The comments of Stroud and Davis Mills. No, the game's over. They'll talk Astros.
Twitch is thinking OTAs.
They're going to lead with Astros and then quickly get into it.
Ocho said what CJ Stroud had to say about his relievers. I'll go with what Robert Woods had to say about Jimmy Ward defensively. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks to Joe George for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston, assuming none of us are suspended. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.